Hello.
Blog Talk Radio. Hmm.
Hello, and welcome to The Road to Success, Faith on the Road to Success. I am your host, John C. Abercrombie, and we've been talking about the importance of maintaining control of yourself during this period of holidays. There are holidays for different religions, and sometimes we have to respect that. In fact, I think at all times we should respect that. And this is a period of disruption. I just got into the house. Traffic is somewhat heavy. Everybody is out shopping, and things are a little bit different. There's a little fog in the air, and that contributes to the need to pay attention while you are driving. But as you are driving, we have many things going through our mind. I think that one of the overrated things that we often hear about is multitasking. While there are some things that can be done, many should be avoided. They should be avoided because they require our attention. Now, we can drive down the road, and many of us at times have used our cell phones for various things. We've texted. We've done other things. But you don't understand how quickly things can go awry. When you're driving, you've got 2,000-3,000 pounds of metal that you're moving at 60, 70, 80 miles an hour. And things can happen quickly. I know that. But while there are things other than driving, we have to look at the consequences. When I began to drive, I found that I could not just look to the end of my hood and be confident in my driving. I had to look further down the road to make sure that I avoided accidents, whether it was a car, whether it was a deer, whether it was some other hazard. Maybe something had fallen into the road, for example. We have the parallel of that happening in our lives. We see it, and we sometimes don't recognize it. We overestimate our abilities in some cases and underestimate it in others. And we have to learn to balance these things out. And this is why the holiday period is so important. Many of you may have not gone through a holiday period where you were trying to maintain goals. You were trying to maintain speed. You were trying to maintain direction. Because without that influence of you and your road to success, it often didn't make a lot of difference. At work, you were either given time off or you weren't. At work, it flowed, or in some cases, you had the opportunity to do a celebration at work. Now, we have to make some of the same decisions during the holiday season. And I tell you, and I've talked about this during the year, there are times when we need rest and relaxation. We need to reinvigorate ourselves. We need to reinvent ourselves in a manner of speaking. We need to maintain a degree of freshness. And that's why we have schedules. When we first started talking, we talked about having a period of time when you would reflect on your day. And we still need to do that. We still need to do that. But let me interject something here at this point. When we look at our day, don't try to do two things at the same time. Don't take the day off and work at the same time. And let me explain that a little bit more. We can and should occasionally take time off. But we should know what it is. If you have kids, and I certainly did, around this time of year, they may be participating in a play at school, at church, with an organization, or what have you. If that is important to you, block that time and do it as soon as possible. Block it. Then you're not under stress because you're not doing what you thought you were going to be doing. There is a tradition in your family that Christmas is a family day. There's no reason why it shouldn't be a family day. If you have, for example, a conflict and you have decided to devote an hour a day to a particular task, let's say, can you comfortably do that in that setting? Can you? In most cases, we can. But in some cases, we can't. For example, if you have to drive a distance to the celebration and you have to drive back, you need to be of your full self in doing this. Now, we've talked about some realistic things that happen during the holidays. Some of us can take a drink. Some of us can't. Some of us can't because one leads to two, leads to three, which leads to four. And in that state, we sometimes do things that we end up regretting for a long, long time. You want to avoid those if at all possible. You are a responsible member of society. Now, I'm not saying that you cannot drink. I am not saying that you cannot drive. But from years of experience, both as a person doing this and as a person in law enforcement observing this and having to take action in some cases, it's generally not worthwhile to try to do both. Don't try to do both. Don't drink and drive. You need your full attention there. When you're doing work, you also need to be fully focused on what you are doing. Sometimes mistakes can be costly, particularly if you're doing things like bookkeeping or what have you. This is not to say that you can't, but you need to be focused on that which is important. Now, let's assume that Christmas Day is a family day for you and your family, and you don't want to do anything else. That is okay. It's okay. But do it, and do it deliberately. If you have gone somewhere on a vacation, for example, you may find that what you want to do is take an entire week off or more off. Do it, but do it deliberately. Refresh yourself. Do things that you want to do. Do things that bring you joy and excitement. Maybe you're skiing, if that is your thing. Maybe you're skydiving. Maybe you're snorkeling somewhere in the Caribbean. Who knows? It's not important what I want to do. It's important what invigorates you. Some of us are going to spend time in places of worship. I am looking at, and probably will post before the first of the year, on my blog site, AmazingBlackHistory.com, watch night services. And I think that they are more important than many of us place their significance on. Watch night happened before the Civil War, because in many cases, what took place on January 1st was that families were split. They were sold off, and this was a big day for that. And people were having time together, sometimes for the very last time. But what I recall is that in January 1st, 1863, the Emancipation Proclamation freed many slaves, not all, freed many slaves. I won't get into that discussion at this time. But those people were thankful that they would see freedom at the stroke of midnight. Now, you should have something similar. I'm not suggesting that you become religious if you're not, but if you are, good. If you're not, also good. Because it's not my purpose tonight to speak to you, to try to convert you from anything to anything else, or talk you from being a non-believer to being a believer. I just hope that I don't talk any believers into being non-believers. But that's a personal thing between me and my Creator. I do not want to be that person. But what I want to do is to have you understand the importance and the purpose of your even being. You are placed here for a specific reason. And sometimes without direction, without guidance, without motivation, without inspiration, we're wandering in the wilderness. We're wandering in the wilderness. What does that mean? If I were to put you in a place where you had absolutely no knowledge of where you were, many of us would not be able to pick a direction to travel. And as a result, would probably spend time wandering around in circles, Because even basic fundamentals of navigation, we don't know today. We think that anything ancient is without education, without supervision, without direction, that these were just a bunch of savages out there. But when you look at Native Americans in this country and all over the world, they were able to travel from place to place. Many of them had summer homes and winter homes and moved. Some of them did not, but many of them had a semi-nomadic life until we started into agriculture. They had to know how to get there. They couldn't pull out, like we did in the old days, a map. They couldn't, as we do today, look at their GPS and know exactly which way to travel. And yet and still, they did it with amazing accuracy. Not only that, but they knew when to leave. They knew when to harvest crops. They knew when to plant crops, all without watching the news and the weather on TV every morning. They didn't have it. But we have certain wits about us that we need to engage. And we need to engage them and convert them to our uses. If I were in a place, didn't know where I was, I would try to come up with a plan. And what would that plan be? I don't know, because I'm not there. I'm not in that dire circumstance at this point. I may try to find water if it's close by. I may want to head in a particular direction, because with the sun, with the stars, I can guide north, east, south, west, or any point in between. This is how we find that people such as Harriet Tubman. And this is why the importance of the North Star was so important. But, you know, we'll only have it there for approximately 33,000 more years. I'm not sure that I will be around to see the slight change. But we know that. And we know that people years ago, because of slight changes in the earth, that there was slightly different orientations. We can do that, but where did the fundamentals come in? The point that I'm trying to make here is that fundamentals are extremely important. We sometimes want to get very, very fancy, but we have to understand what job one is. We sometimes pile stuff on our plate that we don't need there. I used to go to buffets because I could eat all that I could hold, all that I could hold. And I began to recognize that it wasn't always the healthiest of food. Now, what do I mean by that? Because this subject came up the other day. When we talk about the difference that people see, many times people think that poor people don't take care of themselves. And poor people often don't understand what taking care of yourself means from that standpoint of view. Many of us are in food deserts. We can't go a few blocks and get fresh produce. We're left with hamburger joints. Not that there's anything wrong with a hamburger, but a hamburger day in, day out, day in, day out, and some of the other things that go with it, with the lack of other nutritional choices, is not always the best that we can have. It's not always the best for us. We get to a point, and I have a friend that just loads his food with salt. He has kidney disease. He is killing himself. He should know better. He's a college graduate, but sometimes we don't. We need to understand that an assortment of foods is good, but sometimes we're not exposed to them. We're not exposed to nutritional diets. I remember in sixth grade, a teacher at one time was asking us what was a nutritional meal, how to plan it out, what should be on the plate. And some people would have a meat and they'd have mashed potatoes, rice, and macaroni and cheese, which are starches. No fresh fruits, vegetables, or what have you. I remember that in the end, I had chosen a balanced meal because that's what I was raised up with. My mother ran a restaurant, but she had studied home economics in college, and she taught school for a while before she opened the restaurant. And so I was used to what in the South we call meat plus three. You had a meat, you had a vegetable, and I knew the difference between green leafy and yellow and what have you. So my choice was not all starches. It was not all sugars. It was not a whole bunch of fats either. Now, we need all of these, but we sometimes end up with poor health partially because of our eating. And some people are saying, well, they just don't take care of themselves. Those are people that don't understand how difficult it is to get what is nutritionally needed or to make it available to all people. When we saw the recent massacre, all too recent, in Buffalo, there was only one basically major place where you could get food in that neighborhood, and that was that particular supermarket. People had to get ways, rides, whatever, to get there. It was difficult. It was cumbersome because you're carrying produce or whatever you have purchased back to your home, and it is sometimes difficult to do. So while we feel smug in having and knowing this, we don't do anything to help other people. In this particular idea that I have just put out, some people have had a revelation. I can do something about that. I can make things better. And that may be the idea and may be the seed of what you do. It may be that you develop a community garden. We see many cases where even in large cities, where unused plots of ground can be used. Maybe this is your key to success, that you find and open a garden. This is probably not the best time to do it, but there are many things that need to be taken care of beforehand. When we plant a garden, oftentimes we are getting starter seedlings and putting them in. Many of us could save money by doing that ourselves prior to. I'm preparing now to get seeds and do starter plants in some areas before that time because I need to start 6, 8, 10 weeks ahead of time to get those sprouts up. Now, what does that have to do with you if your idea is completely different? You don't want to farm. You don't want to touch the dirt. You don't want to do anything like that. What you do is see if there is a parallel here. If you are writing a book, it may be that what you need to do is to develop the finished product and look at how you're going to get it out to the public. Are you going to find an editor? Do you need a representative? What happens? We need to also think in the present and move towards the future. We can't always predict what the future is going to be. And that's a good thing and a bad thing. The good part of it is that if we plan, we ensure the higher likely ability that we can do what we say we're going to do. We don't need additional frustration. This is why I have said, if you are going to take a day or days off during the holidays, plan it. Don't bad because you are doing it, because you plan this. To most people, and I find myself in this particular category, I generally need to do something. In some cases, I cut it down a bit. There are books that I will probably consume, and I don't mean that I'm going to chew the pages up. In many cases, I find that I can listen to them. I have a very, very interesting book that I'm going through now. I've got 15 more hours of listening. No telling how long it would take me to have read through that. And this is what is remaining. But I'm getting some extremely, extremely important information for me. This is a book that was recommended to me by a friend. He knows my interest. I know what his are. And we, in many cases, have like interest. He recommended the book. I got it. In fact, it's interesting because he told me about the book. I had my cell phone with me. I went to my Audible account, ordered the book, and had it while we were still having the discussion. And as I went to my car, I started listening to it. Now, many people like to have a book in their hands. In fact, I just recommended a book today. I want to show you how that works. I had spoken with some people yesterday about a particular find because I did a post on Amazing Black History for this week in our discussion on Sunday at 4, which you can use the same platform to listen to, 4 o'clock Eastern, 1 o'clock Pacific. And in that is a book that is only available in physical form. It's not available as Audible. It's not available as Kindle. Now, I recommend a lot of Kindle books, and Kindle books are ones that you can read. I normally have my cell phone with me, but I find that the print is very small. I'm getting older and don't see like an eagle, so I prefer them in audible form. But I have Echo devices at the home, and I can have that device read Kindle books to me So it's not totally unusual that I may have a book in more than one form and may even have a hard copy as well, because that's something great for collecting autographs on. And I tend to like that better than others. But what happened is this book is only available in physical form, not available in Audible, not available in Kindle, but I will get this book because it is on a subject that is very dear to me. But my listening interests vary, and I can do that in a number of ways. So while I don't, some of my activities will be curtailed, limited, eliminated, this will not, because I can make time during the day. I have started going to a physical rehab because of health issues, but I find that it gives me a chance for almost an hour's worth of listening. So I'm doing two things at one time, and I enjoy the exercise, I enjoy listening, and I can combine them because I don't have to focus away from my book in order to do that. Some of you may find that that is an advantage for you. Some of you authors may like to listen to other people for ideas, for influence, for just for knowledge of how word usage takes place, whatever. As you are watching other media, if you need to advertise, look at TV, not necessarily as entertainment, but as lessons. What are they doing? How are they doing it? What is the catch? What's the hook? What are they touting? Benefits? Are they touting features? These are things that you need to pay attention to because they ensure your success. It is not 100% guaranteed. But what it does is it puts the numbers heavily in your side. It's more than just the flip of a coin. And just because something failed doesn't mean that it was not a good idea. There may be details in how it was implemented, where it was implemented, and other details that may make a huge difference. May make a huge difference. I look back at, I believe it was Pepsi Clear. Pepsi Cola came out with an identical case, but it was clear. And it was probably premature. And what do I mean by premature? People weren't ready for it. People were not ready for it. It did not sell well. Now, this doesn't mean that somebody couldn't have gotten that same formula, found themselves a niche, and maybe enlarged it and had a tremendous following. But we look at the errors that we make. We look at errors that other people make. We polish them up. We true them up. We see that what is wasted can sometimes be converted to something useful. As I'm sitting here talking with you on my cell phone, I have lights on in the house. Those lights don't produce a lot of heat. In days gone past, you couldn't touch a light that had been on for a while. Why? Because it was hot. And what we were finding and what we have found is that we were generating heat in addition to light. The light was a waste product of the heat generation. Because as a kid, I remember we would put lights in with the baby chicks during the winter so that they could stay warm. Warm, not because we wanted them to think it was daytime, but they could stay warm. It was a good source of heat. But we have now learned more and more strategic ways of generating what we desire, that's light, without the generation of the heat. which it increases the effectiveness of what we've done. So whereas we used to get a 65-watt bulb, we can now do it with much less wattage because we have learned. We learned when the light bulb was invented, it was a huge success because prior to that, many times the only light you had in your home was a kerosene lamp. The kerosene lamp was a vast improvement over what we had before that. But there were difficulties with it, including the fact that if it got knocked over, it set your house on fire. But we saw better and better ways of doing things, better methods of doing it. As we are talking about that, I'm looking at an aerosol can. And boy, we thought those were the greatest things around. Just press the button and spray comes spewing out. But let me give you something to think about. When we were doing that, we were spraying and getting some of that substance into our bodies. Those of you old enough to remember that at one time we used to use DDT because it killed everything. And we didn't know how true that statement was. It killed bugs, many of them beneficial, bees, grasshoppers, and other pollinators that we need. But what we began to find out is that we were poisoning the bottom of the food chain. We found that we were losing our majestic eagles. Why? Because they were eating what we had now poisoned, and that moved up the food chain. And so we almost lost all of the eagles in this country. Other birds, the same way. Is there a better way? Is there a better way? Now, we have removed fluorocarbons from many of our sprays because that was damaging the ozone. We sometimes don't look very far. I was just thinking about it today as I was running water in the kitchen sink. My way of washing dishes differs than my father's because I can just flip up a lever and just have water of any temperature I want spraying out. They had to walk to the well or the stream and come back and heat it. And sometimes that required chopping wood, building a fire, whatever, in order to get warmer water. So whereas we shower and have the water running the whole time, he did not because he understood the value of water differently than what I understood it. We had our earlier dishwashers just use tons and tons and tons of water. Now many of them are talking about using less water than even washing dishes by hand. Some of you, these are sparking ideas as to what you can do. And yes, I'm talking to you. The reason is that you were placed here for a particular purpose. And most of us have been talked out of that purpose. Let me just explain a little bit more about the post that I did today. If we were to open our history books, our newspapers, our magazines, the movies that we watch, the television that we watch, and every other media that you could think of, most of us would not be aware of the fact that 25% of all of the cowboys riding the range were black because they had been portrayed as something different. Now, there are two factors involved here. One is people have written because they were writing for an audience and people had the vast idea that black people didn't know how to read and write, so let's just write them out. And that's not fair because it could motivate a number of people, a number of achievements. We've had great rodeo stars. We've had great people. When we look at John Ware basically started the cattle industry in Alberta, Canada. Born a slave. He drove cattle there and to the point, and he was well respected in that community. The home that he finally was in, that he had owned, was on what is now Ware Creek, named after him. That can be so important to young people today. We see that what we grew up knowing as the Lone Ranger, a white man in a black mask with an Indian companion, was modeled after a black man, Bass Reeves, who was also born a slave and was the first black lawman west of the Mississippi, who brought in over 3,000 people. Now, when he went into Oklahoma, which was called Indian Territory, the law required that he take a native speaker with him. It wasn't necessary in his case, but he did. Remember the movie, or remember the TV, he always had his faithful Indian companion with him. But when we look at Oklahoma, what was going on there? We are talking about people that have been run off of their land, the Cherokees, the Seminoles, and displaced to some place in Oklahoma. And the only reason that we have the five civilized tribes is not because they had greater learning, because they had anything else, but it was measured on European standards. And those standards were that you have a written language, and over time, these people developed a language, a written language. So that made them civilized. Anybody else that didn't have that wasn't. It didn't mean that these people had more knowledge, knew how to do anything any better than anybody else. They did well, well beyond what we would expect them to know. But this is how we skew things, not screw, skew, S-K-E-W. Things to the point that the bell-shaped curve is no longer bell-shaped. And in that, we have lost a lot of productivity, a lot. When we look back at what's taking place, sure, as you pursue your goal, it's not easy. Never said that it would be easy, but said that the rewards would be worth it. Those rewards don't have to come in the form of money. When we talk about people raising food for other people, I'm sure that they are just absolutely glowing inside because their work is helping someone, because they are doing what they were put here to do. Yes, they may branch out later into something else, and that's perfectly fine because we find that Amazon, one of the largest companies around, was founded or started as a way of selling books. Books. Nothing else. Books. And they found that by doing this, that they slowly but rapidly increased what is offered. If you look at my blog post, it's not doing as well as I had hoped. But I have the opportunity to partner with them. And if people purchase through one of the links, I get a small bounty without cost to the person making the call. Now, as you look through these, you may see a ad for a book. But that ad can also, that link can also be used to purchase a refrigerator. You don't have to purchase the book. Just make sure it's not in your cart at the time of checkout. You're dealing with a reputable company, dealing with Amazon. When Fred Smith came up with the idea that we now see used every day in FedEx and UPS, it was he was given a grade of C. Not that it wasn't a well-written paper. It was well-written. But the professor, the person that's supposed to know it all, said it had to be a feasible idea. Feasible idea. This ain't going to work. This is what the expert said. And so many times we are turned around by somebody, some self-professed expert that knows as much about it as a mouse. Sometimes we take advice from people when we know, because we can see and envision in our mind what we're talking about. They don't see it. Two of the largest corporations in the world were based on this idea. This idea that at best got a grade of a C. I've talked to a gentleman that I know that works in the industry. We'll have him on one day to talk about it. Now, there are people that can work as drivers and use the programs that they have. Sometimes we don't even take advantage of what we've got. And they can retire as millionaires driving truck. We sometimes think that they're the dumbest people on the face of the earth. But we find that we are wrong. Let me tell you something that I discovered in this article on Black Cowboys. We had a gentleman that was well-respected in the industry. The cattle drives dried up because of the locomotive, the train. And incidentally, as we're talking about a train, one of the greatest improvements on that was the automatic oiling system that allowed a train to travel great distances without having to stop and grease the wheels and bearings and everything else. And that was done by Elijah McCoy, a black man. It made it possible for steamships. It made it possible for the large trucks that deliver out today because they, in some way, some form, use his principles. But because cattle could be loaded onto these trains and moved, it dried up jobs for that 25% of the cowboys that were black. And one of them ended up taking a position as a Pullman porter. The job of Pullman porter often had very educated people in those positions, and that gave rise to the black middle class, because somebody had decided that what we could do is service, that's what you can do. We couldn't drive the train. We couldn't do the other jobs, not that we couldn't, but it was somebody else's idea that we could not. There is no reason today that we couldn't start a railroad. There is no reason that we could not. And once we get it started and learn a few principles and everything else, we can expand it. We can expand it. When most of these cars travel, they're traveling on someone else's tracks. They pay what's known as dunnage to use those tracks. So we could move things. We can move them around. We're now looking at the possibilities of high-speed rail, and they're looking at opening a corridor from Florida, I think, up the East Coast. And I still believe that at some point we can have a system, hub and spoke, that can move people across this country on the ground at great speed and not use the same amount of fuel. When you look at the amount of fuel that can be used to move freight as opposed to a car, you think you're on a different planet. But there's certain differences, major differences, one of them being that railroads basically are built on the level. As you travel alongside a railroad track in your car, the road goes up and down. Railroad track stays level. Grades are not the same because it takes a lot of energy to do that. And when on my anniversary, we took a trip to Paris and England, and we're zipping along on a train at 200 miles an hour, and it was a wonderful ride. And the system was such that if they said you leave at 12:15, if you show up at 12:16, you might not even see the end of the train as it goes out of sight, because they had that ability to run on schedule. Planes are great, but they're subject to many demands of the weather. Maybe there's a way that that can be changed. Maybe there is a way. The person that knows that is you. But I want you to understand, as we're going through this period, look at your calendar every day. Know what you have planned. Know what you have open. Know what you have planned and what you have opened. I had my Monday scheduled, Monday coming up. Got a call today. Doctor is way out of whack on his schedule and needs to change it. That means that I need to review Monday. Now, I also had two other appointments on Monday, but I am able to see around them. I can incorporate them in the day. I can incorporate now the extra time that I have. Do I want to spend it just relaxing, or do I want to do something productive with it? The choice is mine. And this is what I want to pass on to you. Entrepreneurs that are listening to me now, is the choice is yours. You might think that it's a drudgery to pursue your dream. A drudgery to pursue your dream. But it's not. As you think now about selling a pie, for example, and I don't know, $5, $10, whatever, $15, whatever you can, the market will carry for it. Do you think that you're going to look back with shame when you are on your yacht, or when you have the ability to help somebody through school, or when you're able to help somebody whose house is burned, or somebody who doesn't have food? These are opportunities that are open to you. We look at money, and the love of money is the basis of evil. It's the love of money, not what you can do with that money. As you take your ideas, God has put you here for a purpose. You are creating to society, you are creating a fulfillment of why you were placed here. And don't take that lightly. Do not take that lightly. We sometimes look at it, and somebody, an expert, which is a has-been drip, that's what an expert is. Listen to them. If we had listened to experts, I was talking to a lady today who's waiting on packages to get here before Christmas, and I was reminding her that when I was a kid, when you ordered something, not at Christmas, but any time of the year, it would take 6 to 8 weeks to get to you, slightly higher if you lived west of the Mississippi. Now we can order something, and it can be here today. I posted a ad because, I partner with Amazon, where you can go in and shop at Fresh Market and have it delivered today. You don't even have to go out of your house. And we find that we waste a lot of time and energy in what we do. We could shop and have it delivered at our house within hours. But it's because Fred Smith didn't listen to people like his college professor saying this idea will not work. Fred Smith believed that that idea would work. Who won? Fred Smith. To hell with that C that he got on that paper. He proved something. He is employing people. He is helping them reach their dreams. We talked earlier about the fact that some of these drivers are going to retire as millionaires because they are using what is available to them. They're able to buy, executives or management people are given stock all the time. This makes the difference. We go to school and we are sitting there, and the possibilities of what we're going to do. And I'm going to open two doors for you. One is you can be at McDonald's and say, do you want fries with that? Or you can own the McDonald's and tell somebody to offer fries with what they're purchasing. Why is that such a standard cliche? Because people found that once they're there, it's easier to sell them on what they're doing. McDonald's is a hamburger factory. Every step of the way is there. Could you not do what they're doing? Yes, you could. But they have certain things, certain advantages that you don't start with. But you can certainly put much into the idea. When Ray Kroc bought the idea from the McDonald brothers, they thought that they had skinned a big cat, folks, because somebody was buying their business. But they didn't know what they had. And this is the same thing with you. Most of you don't understand what you have. The platform that I'm on is something that was there, but we had a person that had a dream and said that this platform can help me do what I need to do. And so we have the ability to transfer ideas around. The reason that I spend time transferring the idea around is I believe that there are way too many people that have the ability to listen to me that don't have a belief in themselves. Put here by God to do something. Does that mean that you have to own a business? No, it does not. But if you have a dream, you can pursue it. Is it going to be easy? Not necessarily. Is it going to be worth it? You bet it is. Even if you don't quite make it. I have a vision that if you could be at 30,000 feet and see how close you are to fulfilling your dream, not only fulfilling but exceeding your dream, you wouldn't have a doubt. You would continue to claw, dig, climb, do whatever is necessary to get there, because you would also have the ability to see how great an idea was, how great the Creator was to put you here with that mission to accomplish, with that mission in mind. He sent you, not somebody else. I have sat around sometimes and said, this is a great idea. But if it was so great, someone would have already done it. No, he sent me, and I'm like a fool saying, no, if it was going to be done, somebody else. Yeah, I was the somebody else. I was the fool. I disappointed him. I disappointed me. Don't do that. Don't do that anymore, my friends. We come to you on a weekly basis. We come to you every Thursday. And the desire, the intent of this program is to motivate you, your internal workings, the reason that you are placed here. It may be very, very simple. You may have an idea on a new dessert. Some people can't tolerate sugar. Maybe you have an idea for something that is healthier. But along the way, maybe you inspire other people. Maybe you give somebody a job that allows them to go to school. School is not the only thing, if not the only way that we gain success. Many people are coming out of school today with debt beyond their means. What I am working on now is an idea where we can basically pull ourselves up by our bootstraps, starting with what we've got now. But I don't want you to take one step. I want you to go all the way up those stairs and see if there's another set up there that you can accomplish. That is the goal of this program. This is why we encourage you to invite other people to join us. Because I look at the youth that we have, and sometimes they act like, I won't even go into that. They are our future. Unless we can salvage them, they are our future. They're going to be the one to come up with a cure for Alzheimer's. They're going to come up with a way to prevent it. And it's happened. It's possible. Ladies and gentlemen, it's my pleasure to be with you each week to talk to you about this program. But as we are nearing the end of this broadcast, I want to make sure that we end up early enough because we have a fantastic program following us, and that is Deacon Armstrong is coming on. When you turn to Crown Talking Drums, you'll find a vast assortment of programs on various days of the week. Consult that. If you have an idea for a program, contact us because we're always looking to improve. You may have that idea. You may be able to use that as a jumping off spot. We as a community encourage each other. That's the name of the game. That's why we have faith in ourselves. That's why we have faith in our community. And I want to get off early enough that Deacon Armstrong can come on at 8 o'clock. So with that, I'm going to bid you a farewell. I always pray that the message that we're trying to get there spreads to a wider audience, that you understand that I am speaking to. It's not because we learn together. That's why I like the interactive ability of this platform. Let me give you a number, and you can use that next week or any other week that we're on. 646-668-8217. That's how to contact the host of any program that you find on Crown Talking Drums. I will be with you again next week. Let me get off so that he can get on. My name is John C. Abercrombie. The road, the program that you're listening to is Faith on the Road. And I will see you Sunday, 4 p.m., same platform. Be blessed, my friends. Be blessed.